We read the Word of God this evening from 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. We'll begin our reading at verse 9. And it came to pass when they, that is Elijah and Elisha, were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they went still on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast them upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. So far the reading of God's word, and it is the verses 20 through 22 that are our text. And he, that is Elisha, said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word this evening. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, God rewarded Elijah for his faithful labors. God set his approval upon that work by taking him to heaven. And the mantle falls off from Elijah, and Elisha takes up that mantle. And looking at the big shoes that he has to fill, the hard work, difficult work that he has to fill, he asks, before Elijah is taken, for a double portion of the Spirit which he received, because he was able to see the taking up of Elijah. So, Elisha is the prophet of God. And coming back across the Jordan River, the 50 prophets, sons of the prophets that were viewing from afar, recognize that he is the prophet of God. That he has the mantle of Elijah, that it is his work now to take on this work. They say, verse 15, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. A transition there, isn't it? And yet it was hard for them to make that transition, wasn't it? Just as in our churches. If a church has an excellent pastor and he's been with them for a long time, you grew up with him. Many of you were baptized with him or made confession of faith with him. And then suddenly he is gone and another minister comes. They have received Elisha, but now they say, Elisha, let us go look for the body of Elijah. There was still a strong attachment. Perhaps he was only taken up by the Spirit of God for his body to be cast down again to the ground. That was sinful of them. That was sinful for them to ask that. They did not unquestionably believe the word of God as it came from the prophet of God. The word of God that came from the prophet of God says, no, you shall not go. Elisha must have already told them exactly what had taken place. God has taken his servant Elijah home to heaven. They did not unquestionably believe the word of God that now comes to them by this new prophet of God. They didn't believe the translation of Elijah to heaven and God's approval upon his works. They need to learn, and we see that in our lesson this evening, they need to learn obedience to God through the word of his prophets. Obedience. And that's the message that comes to us too. For what we're going to see in the pericope of Scripture that we're looking at is the importance and the power, the efficacy of the ministry of the word. The power, the efficacy of the power of the word spoken by prophets of the Lord. We need to pray for faith that we may receive that word of God as the word of God. So in our applicatory sermon, notice within the theme, the healing of the waters. The healing of the waters. This is Elisha's first miracle. And as his first miracle is going to picture really his whole ministry. Just as Jesus' first miracle at the wedding of Cana pictures his whole ministry. The healing of the waters. The great need of Jericho. Notice, second of all, the healing of the waters, and then thirdly, the permanence of that work. Jericho. A beautiful place The word Jericho means city of palms. It must have been like Elam was when the Israelites were traveling out of Egypt. Here in wastelands or in desert lands or rocky lands, here is this city of palm trees. An important city for situation. It stands there at the entrance into Canaan. No one can come into Canaan or go out of Canaan except through Jericho. And Elisha is there for 3 days while these foolish 50 sons of the prophets are out there looking on the mountains and the valleys for the body of Elijah. And the men of the city come to Elisha and they say, "You can see. You can see the situation here, can't you? You can see that this city is pleasant. It's a beautiful place here. Laying there in that fertile valley by the Jordan River." Oh, it was for them a good place to live. Probably just like Lot said to Abraham when he looked at the plains down there near Sodom and Gomorrah. "It will make me rich." Jericho, which had been known for its thick walls and its gates of the walls. What protection! It had its own water source, its own fountain of water or spring. Water would keep on welling up. Continual source of nourishment. What a beautiful place, outwardly. But now listen, these men of the city said unto Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught and the ground barren." The water is naught. Literally, that word means the water is evil. The water is deadly. The water is destructive. And that evil and that destruction comes right from the source, doesn't it? Death reigned from that water. Death reigned on that whole region there. The ground was barren. The ladies would miscarry their children. The cattle would miscarry their little ones. There was deadliness there in the water. So the picture here is outwardly beautiful. What a beautiful situation Jericho was landed in. Who wouldn't want to live in that city? Pleasant outwardly, but deadly, with a rotten source. And now we need to review a little bit why. Why is that the case? Why this rotten source? And the reason is because the curse of God was upon that city. The curse of God. We read in Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. And God adjured them, the Israelites at that time. This is after Jericho was captured. Or it's before their capture. The capture is going to come later on. But Joshua warns them, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho." He, the person that tries to build this city, shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. The curse of the Lord was upon it. Jericho belonged to God. And when Israel was going to go up against it, they were not to spare any men or women or children or any cattle nor any clothing. The gold and the silver all belonged to God. It would be put in the treasury. It was God's. God was going to utterly destroy that wicked city. And he does so with a curse. But in the days of Ahab, so only about 20 or so years previous to this, there was an Israelite who says, I don't have to obey. I don't believe the word of God. And he laid down the foundation of that city, and he had to attend the funeral of his firstborn. Does that stop him? No. He keeps on building, and he sets the gates. And it is attended with the funeral service of his youngest son. God says, no, you will not raise up this city. It is cursed. And Israel says, we will build up this city. And now the Israelites are living in that city. It belonged there to the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. It was their possession. And they build up that city. Jericho is built and indwelt, showing the departure of the people from God and from His Word. Outwardly beautiful, but rotten at its core. Cursed by God. So what does this Jericho represent? For we have here a typical event. We have a miracle that takes place at Jericho. And a miracle is a sign and a wonder. That is, this earthly reality is pointing forward to a spiritual reality that cannot be seen with our eyes. Jericho represents man. Man as he departs from God. Israel, that Israelite man, and these Israelites that were indwelling that city had departed from the Word of God. God says, no. And they said, yes. Man as he departs from God. Man who was made beautiful in his creation. Man who rebelled, filled with a foul fountain. The source is there, the heart. The fountain of life, rotten. A rotten heart. That shows man's nature. By his fall into sin, wicked, evil. Death, cursing, flowing from this rotten source. And it is because of God's curse. God curses those who depart from Him. Jericho gave a lie to its inwardness. That is, by its outward beauty, outward attractiveness, she gave a lie to what she really was at heart. Man as defiled by sin at his root. And God speaks words of wrath. Beautiful, but cursed. You and I cannot know what God thinks of a person by outward appearances, can we? Do you remember, boys and girls, when Samuel had to go down and he had to anoint one of the sons of David to be the next king? And as Samuel comes there before the sons of David and they parade past him, he looks at the first ones and they are beautiful young lads. Surely this must be the one God is pleased with. And the boys and girls know that, no, it was not the outward appearance. When all the other sons had passed by, Samuel says, are there no more? Oh, yes. Yes, there is this little child, the ruddy little one, out taking care of dad's sheep. God does not judge by outward appearance. We can try to make ourselves ever so pleasant looking, beautiful looking. God looks at the heart. And from that rotten source, man destroys his life. There is death. Look at the world around you as it's plagued from the rotten source involved in drugs or drunken with alcohol or promiscuousness. There seems to be no ability to satisfy the evil lust of the heart. A corrupt fountain and the whole life wrecked. Yes, it is man, as he has fallen in Adam, man by nature, that is represented by Jericho. And as he departs from God, he knows better. These Israelites knew better. They knew what the Word of God was. They had been taught. These weren't heathens that were coming from another land that never had heard about that curse. These were Israelites that knew the Word of God and said, I don't have to obey the Word of God. This city, this situation looks good for me. I will build it and I will live here. They tried to live there. But they're finally rudely awakened, aren't they? They have to come with a great need, don't they? You have seen, Elisha, that this city is pleasant, that it is beautiful, but the water is naught and the ground barren. How necessary it is for God to lead us to that kind of knowledge. We need to know our depravity. That there is no good in us and there will be no good that ever can come of us except God comes and changes the source or the fountain of our life, our hearts. With that request, for it is a request, outwardly beautiful but rotten at its source, Elisha, what can you do? Verse 20, and he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it unto him. Elisha, in his first miracle, is going to heal those waters. He is to come with an earthen vessel filled with salt. And then he brings the Word of God. I have healed these waters. There shall not from thence any more death or barren land. Beloved, God really healed those waters. That is the curse that God had spoken upon that land earlier. And the curse that comes because of the departure from that Word of God is turned around. It's changed. Those waters became sweet waters, life-giving waters from the source. How we know about those kind of waters, don't we, lately? You can hardly turn on the news and you hear about Flint, Michigan. The lead waters causing rashes or animals to die, high levels of lead in children. But notice that water in Flint isn't from the source. It's not the source isn't bad, but it is the pipes, the lead pipes that bring the water to the city, to the homes. Far different. This is the source. God's curse upon it was deadly waters. But the Lord says, I will lift that curse. Or, verse 21, I have healed these waters. A healing that will bring life, abundance. And what are the means? Bring me a new cruse, an earthen vessel. Put salt therein. And he went to the spring of waters and he cast the salt in there. So let's look at that. Those means. Salt. That's very prominent in this miracle, isn't it? Bring me a new vessel with salt in it. And he puts the salt into the fountain. What is that salt? The Bible speaks about salt. We read that passage this morning in Matthew chapter 5, didn't we? Ye are the salt of the earth. And sadly, that word salt there is so wrongly applied, isn't it, and interpreted. That word then is interpreted as if the salt is some kind of preservative. And yes, salt can be used as a preservative for meat. But that's not the way Scripture uses it. But rather, in Scripture, salt is first of all symbolic for tastiness. When you have a bland food, you put some salt on it so that through those spices, it tastes good. It's tasty. Delicious. Recently, some of my children said to me, with some soup I gave them, Dad likes his salt. Salt is used in that way in the Scriptures. Ye are the salt of the earth. That is, those who are in Christ Jesus. Chosen by God, redeemed by His blood, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, is that which makes this world tasty to the Lord, appealing to the Lord. He loves this cosmos. John 3, verse 60. Why? This cosmos that is filled with so much filth and sin. Why does He love it? Because ye, the church, is the salt of the earth. It gives that beautiful aroma and taste so that God delights in His creation. Salt is also closely connected with the covenant. God's Word says, do not, with the sacrifices, spare on the salt. They were to spread the salt over the sacrifice that was given to God. That was the law of the sacrifice. The covenant is called Salton. God's fellowship with His people. Oh, how He delights in that. And at the head of the covenant, is Christ Himself, isn't He? In Christ, God takes delight. And in Christ's body, then, God takes delight because we're connected to Christ, because we've been redeemed by Christ, because He dwells in our hearts. Christ is the salt. God delights in Christ Jesus. The salt is also at times stands for a curse, doesn't it? For boys and girls, you'll remember that when God graciously took Lot and his family out of Sodom, Lot's wife, her heart was still in Sodom, wasn't it? Because her heart was in Sodom, she turned around again to look back longingly at Sodom and all that it stood for, and God changed her into a pillar of salt. She was cursed for departing from the Word of God. That's the salt. And this salt is to be brought in an earthen vessel. A new cruse or a new bowl having just been formed at the hands of the potter. A vessel of honor. We read again in scriptures about those kind of vessels, don't we? The Apostle Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure, that's the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Here is a new vessel. Elijah had finished his work and the Lord approved of that work and took him up to heaven. Now there is a new vessel that is going to bring that word of God. Merely an instrument, isn't he? An instrument whereby the Word of God comes by the prophet of God. And that prophet brings the salt. That salt is Christ Jesus Himself. That salt is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the earthen vessel. Brings the salt. And it is poured into the foul fountain of Jericho. Into the foul fountain of your and my life. The unclean heart. What a bowl that was. The bowl that the residents brought to Elisha. With a salt in it, a picture of Elisha bringing the Word of God to these Israelites in Jericho who had departed from the Word of God, were under the curse. And then the spoken words, I have healed these waters. Yes, the miracle. What we see is the waters themselves at the fountain suddenly bubbling up with waters of life. Beautiful tasting water. Refreshing water. Water that would enable the residents of Jericho to live there, to eat and to drink, to have their families, have their farms. The Word of God. The Word of God brings Christ Jesus, doesn't He? And by Christ Jesus, there is the healing power of the Holy Spirit to cleanse. By the Holy Spirit, new hearts that we talked about this morning, where Christ dwells. That's what makes a pure heart. That fountain from which life, everlasting life, flows. God heals. God heals in the miracle, Jericho's waters, the living there in Jericho. But God heals continuously today. The Word of God by the mouth of His ministers. God heals men and women and children and cities and nations. Oh, may that Word of God go forth. What a gracious work this is. These citizens of Jericho did not deserve this kind of a blessing. They had departed from the Word of God. God says that city is cursed. And cursed is the man that builds the foundations of it and builds the walls of it. Death will come. You and I, man by nature, don't deserve God's gracious work. But it is only His sovereign electing love. God determined through Elisha that He would give life to Jericho, that He would heal, He would take away the curse that He placed upon that location and give them fresh water. God in His electing love has determined to take away that foul fountain in our lives, evil hearts, corrupt hearts, to give us new hearts in which there's life, in which fountains of water flow out. Yes, God heals us at the source, doesn't He? The source was the problem, our depravity, our sin. As Adam was the source of the whole human race, God has given a new source, the last Adam, who is the source of life. Oh, how wonderful is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Adam, the source, the head of the whole human race, curse, death. That's not God's last word. Christ, new hearts, and life flowing out of those new hearts given to us. Christ dwelling within us. And healed at the source now, the whole person is renewed. Transformed moment by moment, from day to day, an ongoing work, transformed more and more in the image of God. Yes, beloved, God heals completely. All the city of Jericho and the whole valley that lay in it now had this life-giving water. God heals you and me completely, starting with the heart. Now body and soul transformed. Oh, in this life only a small beginning, but when we die, the soul, which has eternal life, is transformed. No more sin in it. And when this body is going to be raised out of the grave, it too will suddenly be changed in a moment. No more imperfection or sin. As in Jericho, there was no more barrenness, but there was life. So, beloved, in our lives, given new hearts, no more barrenness, but life. Everlasting life. Life lived in fellowship with Christ Jesus. And how do you do that? This is where the symbol of salt comes in. Salt was a symbol of curse, wasn't it? Lot's wife was changed into a pillar of salt. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, going to Calvary's cross, became a curse in our place. He became salt. He died. He took the curse from us so that we may receive God's grace and God's blessing and life. our whole life now fruitful, bearing good fruit, good works for God's glory. Where death once reigned, Jericho, now life. Where death once reigned, my heart, now life. Notice with me, lastly and finally, the permanence of this work. For we read in verse 22, for Jericho, unto this day, so the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha which he spoke. Elisha was just the instrument. Christ is the salt. God's word is a powerful, effectual word. It brings healing. The preaching of the word, that's how Elisha's ministry begins, by this first miracle. Those 50 sons of the prophets were wrong. They questioned the word of God as it came from the prophet of God. Can we go look for the body of Elijah? No. But they kept on pestering. They were like little children, nagging. Can't we go? Can't we go? Can't we go? And Elisha is ashamed, and it's really, I guess, you have to find out by yourself. They were disobedient to the Word of God. God brings His Word. Oh, by faith may we hear that Word of God as it comes from the prophet of God. It brings healing. That Word of God goes out by His sovereign choice. He brings it and He applies it savingly to whomever He will. Oh, do you hear Him say to you, as He said to Jericho of old in type, I have healed these waters. By sovereign election, through the redemption that is in our Lord Jesus Christ, where He became cursed in our place, now applied by the Holy Spirit. Faith. The earthen vessel with the salt in it, it is the work of God without repentance. That which God has begun in His children, He will bring it to completion. He doesn't go halfway. He didn't say, I'll do something and now you do something. He works this radical change by giving us new hearts, clean hearts, fountain of life. And it is an unchanging work as it is unto this day. That is, the writer of 2 Kings is able to look back and he says, see people, see, here is a wonder in front of your eyes. It's a wonder which is a sign. It's pointing to an unseen spiritual reality. It's a wonder which ought to cause the people to say, wow, God did that. Yes, literally, physically, in Jericho. But what He has done in Jericho as a type, a symbol of what He does in our hearts. Unto this day, still today, you go to Jericho today, there's good water in that city. Good water at its source. New life. You and I who were born in sin, death, had deadly fountains. If my heart is not right, if I don't have a pure heart, then I'm no different than Jericho before God healing the waters. But the earthen vessel, Elisha, the salt therein, put into the foul fountain, and everything is changed. These men in the city needed faith, didn't they? They recognize that though Jericho was pleasant to the eye outwardly, the waters were not. They bring forth only death. And Elisha says to them, Bring me this earthen cruse with salt. And by faith, they do it. They listen to the word of God spoken by the prophet of God. They submit. They believed. They believed the word of the prophets. And trusting it, time and eternity is changed, isn't it? Eternal life for us, for our children, for our cities, for our nations. Taking the word of God, spoken by the prophet of God, in faith, there's life, there's healing, no more curse. And the Bible ends on that note, doesn't it? That beautiful chapter, Revelation chapter 22, the first three verses. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. God says, I will heal these waters. They will be fruitful, bring forth life. Hear the gospel, the word of God that comes by the prophet of God, Elisha. I will heal. No more curse. Amen. Oh, Father, we thank Thee for the word of God, spoken by the prophet of God. Just an instrument, but it is God. It is God Himself who brings healing where there was curse. We thank Thee that with pure hearts we could come and we could taste of Christ in the Word and in the Sacrament. Christ dwells within our hearts, and now we have new life to be lived every day in Thy service. Help us then, in faith, as we depart from this sanctuary, to live that new life, fruitful life, to Thy glory. Amen. Psalter number 292. Sons of men, awake to praise God the Lord who reigns above, gracious in His works and ways, wondrous in redeeming love. We'll sing stanzas 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.